The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is a series of sermons written by a Lutheran pastor during a late 16th century plague. The book is titled The Joy of Eternal Life by Pastor Philip Nicolai. The Joy of Eternal Life is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Find your own hope and comfort in knowing that eternal life waits for you with the new book, The Joy of Eternal Life. Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday, November the 11th, it's time to go through listener email and the Issues, Etc. comment line. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line, 618-223-8382. Let's begin with some feedback from that comment line about our interviews on COVID-19 and, you guessed it, COVID vaccines.
Hello, this is Laura calling from Watertown, Wisconsin. I wanted to comment on the programs that you've done on COVID-19 and the vaccines, especially the program on October 21st with Dr. David Sander and the comment line segment on October 28th and some of the comments made there. I would have to agree with the listener that said that you should consider presenting the other side of this issue with the vaccines, because all of your guests have been pretty pro-vaccine and haven't had very much critical to say about the safety and effectiveness of the vaccines. And also, the listener had said that you've opened up a can of worms with this topic, and I would agree with that, too. I know on the 28th, you said that the reason that you've covered this topic is because of the conscience issues, and I think you've covered that really well. You know, the guests have really covered that pretty thoroughly, I think, but you've asked them about a lot of other questions too with the vaccines and their safety, their effectiveness, and just COVID-19 in general. So I think you owe it to your listeners to present more information about this because it's been pretty one-sided. One of the things that I think is missing is the therapeutics, and Dr. David Sander didn't have anything to say about the therapeutics other than it's difficult. But in this case, with COVID-19, there's been a lot of medications that have shown to be effective and useful. And if they had started using those medications last year, there'd be a fraction of the deaths and the hospitalizations, and we wouldn't be in this position at all right now. We wouldn't be talking about the vaccines and the vaccine mandates. So I think that's an area that's really missing. And as far as the safety, on the VAERS, there's been 17,000 deaths reported. And even that, if that's overreported, that's kind of a concerning sign that this is not very safe. And it could be due, well, it probably is due to the vaccines they produce. They have your cells produce the spike protein, which is what's been shown to be harmful. So I think that there's a lot that could be covered. Well, anyway, thanks for all that you do. Your program has been a real lifesaver for me in the last few years, and I've learned a lot about the Christian faith. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your comments. Now, I think she has a good point that now that we have had the time to allow the medical community to do the hard work of the therapeutics, we probably should be talking about them and find someone to talk about them. Now, my understanding of the therapeutics is that's for when you get COVID. That's not for preventing COVID. You can't take NyQuil to prevent getting a cold. It only helps once you got it'll make you sleepy, but you can't take NyQuil to prevent getting a cold, and you can't take the therapeutics to prevent getting COVID, but you can take them to ease one's symptoms. That's my understanding of the therapeutics. Now, if you have a different understanding of the therapeutics, then we have to have another conversation. So I think she's got a good point there. The truth is in here someplace, right? None of our guests have said you have to have the vaccine. They've all been against vaccine mandates, every last one of them. All of them have effectively said, you know, we're looking at the data and this vaccine looks pretty safe. It's been given to millions of people. There's an open way to, at least in the United States, report adverse effects. Now, we were told by Lyman Stone that listing there at the CDC site of adverse effects is an unfiltered stream of information. It's not filtered for truth. It's not even filtered for whether or not it really happened. It's just reporting, open source reporting. And it's not used there to collect scientific data. It's used there to watch for trends when adverse effects are reported. But it's not used there to say, oh, look, this guy got a brain hemorrhage. That means the vaccine causes a brain hemorrhage. Oh, look at that guy. His back hurt the next day. That's because he got the vaccine. There's no cause and effect implied by reporting that literally anyone can do at that site. So all of our guests have effectively said, this is the best information we have for you. Make your own decision. All of them have said, talk to your doctor. Now, that's a suggestion I'm going to make to every one of our listeners who, we've had a lot of listeners upset with the guests that we've had on COVID. They think that we're somehow advocating for a completely uncritical view of the vaccine, a completely uncritical view of the public information. Lyman Stone said he doesn't trust a single of those official sources, but he does trust the numbers that are often distorted by those official sources. So most of them have said, do what you want. Here's the best data we could possibly provide for you. You don't have to have this. It'll probably help you if you do. So the truth is in here someplace. People say, well, we need to hear the other side. What's the other side from here's the best data that we have? Make up your own mind. And this is my suggestion for every one of those listeners who's upset that we're not presenting any and all views, regardless of how credible or fantastic the views may be on the vaccine. Go talk to your doctor. I'm not a doctor, but I think it's always a good idea to talk to your doctor when you have medical concerns. When you have medical concerns, should I take this vaccine? Is it safe? Instead of going on Google, where you can find anything you want, and the algorithm is built to show you what you want to see. You know that, don't you? It's built to show you what you want to see. Go talk to your doctor. If you're a Lutheran congregation member, you probably got a couple doctors in the congregation of any congregational size. Talk to them. Say, what do you think I should do? Well, Wilkin said, Wilkin isn't a doctor. So what we're trying to do is do the equivalent of that, which is let's bring on medical experts in this field so that they can speak generally to the entire audience and give the best medical advice that they have at their disposal right now. In the case of Lyman Stone, not a doctor, not that kind of a doctor. But what he is he's a demographer. He knows numbers. He knows how to read numbers, interpret them, and he knows how to parse them in a way that gives us meaningful information that we can act on. And that's why we had Lyman Stone on. He was simply talking about this phenomenon in terms of its demographics. So I'll ask again two things. One, what's the other side of the best data we could possibly bring you? And go talk to your doctor. Now, you might drop him after he tells you, hey, get the vaccine. What do you wait for? Get the vaccine. And go ahead, search for a doctor who's going to tell you, don't get the vaccine. Or maybe most of them are probably just going to say, I don't care what you do. Get it, don't get it. I got it. I didn't get it. But go talk to your doctor.
I think in fairness to our coverage, we definitely couldn't say that our guests have discouraged getting the vaccine.
No.
Okay.
They've simply said, here's the best information. Do what you think is best. They've all said, talk to your physician. Now, if you won't go talk to your doctor, I'm going to very carefully and cautiously suggest that you don't want to hear the truth. More email?
Next to our recent interview with demographer Lyman Stone on fertility and COVID vaccines, what do you think was the second highest numerical emails that we receive? What topic?
Of all the topics we've discussed
in the last week.
Smoked meat?
No.
Okay.
Knitting.
Knitting. Oh, that's right.
The Knitting Lutherans Facebook group.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, this begins with Eleanor in Michigan. She has a question for you. About episode 3083 in the topic of knitting during the divine service. This is actually something I regularly did as a young adult, but seriously contemplated the propriety of it before doing so. I wonder if the context for the person makes a difference. I struggle immensely with holding attention during service. By keeping my hands busy with a repetitive but mindless task like knitting, my mind is forced to stay in the present whenever it is tempted to wander off. Doing handiwork enhanced my ability to pay attention and savor the words I was speaking and hearing. There was actually a time before having children ruined my long-term memory, wasn't that true, where I could look at my project and remember what readings/lessons I heard as I worked each part. I did end up concluding that I would only work on these projects during the readings and sermons, so never through the whole service. My biggest concern was a worry that it would be more distracting to others, even though it was helpful to me, so I tried to be as innocuous as possible. So your comments made me wonder, 1, is there any appropriate way to use knitting or handiwork as an attention aid during the divine service? 2, obviously, if his single encounter with knitting during a service is something that Jeff remembers, it was clearly distracting to others. Should this be a strong reason it isn't appropriate, no matter the benefit it gives the person who is knitting? Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening in Michigan, Eleanor.
I was trying to remember which one of us brought up the knitting because it was Jeff.
It was me. You talked about somebody on a cell phone in the service.
No, I'm talking about the entire congregation on their phones.
Oh, wow.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Everybody who wasn't going up for communion was on their phones during communion. I tend to use the more extreme examples. Jeff chose knitting for some reason. I'll just be honest with Jeff. If I was up in the pulpit preaching and I saw one of the ladies in the congregation knitting, I wouldn't even bat an eye. Because I think what the listener says is right. It can actually allow you to kind of focus your attention on things when you're doing something mindless. I have a son. He's on the spectrum. He finds it very helpful to manipulate things in order to, in his case, relieve anxiety or work through problems. So I would say, laying aside the issue of distracting others, knitting is not a particularly noisy activity. And it usually can be done in a very unassuming way. If it allows you to focus on the Word of God and cut out all the other distractions that are in the room, and there are lots of distractions there, then knit a whole sweater. If it does prove to be a distraction to someone else, then we always defer to the conscience of the neighbor in cases like this where there's no Word of God to say yes or no. I think that if it permits you to attend more closely to the Word of God, good. So, do you think we're going to get email on that?
Yes, because I don't know if I agree with you. What about coffee? What about, can I bring coffee into church and drink? Because it that relaxes.
That's really
me.
Changing nowadays.
But that's what I'm saying. Once you say knitting, cell phones, coffee, my only point is this: if Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, popped up, was at the lectern of the pulpit in your congregation, would you be on your cell phone? Would you be knitting? Would you be drinking coffee? That's my only point. We Lutherans believe that Jesus is physically, he is actually present. We're not like non-denominationals. We're not like the Baptists or the Calvinists. We believe he's really there. That's my only concern.
Okay, I understand your concern, but if you applied that consistently, you wouldn't lean over and say anything to your wife either.
You're right. We shouldn't.
You wouldn't.
You shouldn't.
You wouldn't get up and go to the bathroom. You wouldn't let your kids get up and go to the bathroom.
We do our best not to.
I guess it depends on what we mean when we say Jesus is present. And that calls for a level of seriousness, attention,
reverence.
And reverence. Okay, so if it doesn't interfere with attention, you cannot tell me a cell phone doesn't interfere with attention. Knitting is a different thing. Maybe it does, as our listener said, allow her to attend more closely without distraction. What do we say? Reverence, attention, seriousness. Of those three things that we can identify, there has to be human activities. We wouldn't blink, you know. Uh-oh, you blinked. Jesus is here. We don't want it to get to that point where we're saying, you know, what
that's
are you
doing? Extreme.
What are you doing blinking?
But that's Jesus. That's a straw man. Blinking is a straw man. I mean, that nobody's going to advocate. You can't blink in the divine service.
Right.
There's a difference between blinking the divine service and checking your email or your text messages in the divine service.
But Jeff, well, maybe you don't see how many people fall asleep during church every single Sunday.
You ever heard of my snoring? Though?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
But
so
maybe we need to get somebody on the other side of the issue.
Yeah. Oh,
the cell phone advocates.
Let me tell you.
The people who say we should not only blink, we should blink continuously and sleep.
With coffee in one hand and your cell phone in the other.
The babies sleep during church. Little kids sleep during church. Old people, I'm one of you, sleep during church. I think it's the Baptists used to have a little stick that they carried around. The ushers would carry around and poke you when you fell asleep.
Hey,
let's give Jeff that job in church. Jeff can be the guy with the stick that pokes when you're doing something you shouldn't be doing in church.
Yeah, what would you call it? The no distraction Nazi or something like that. Walter. Regarding the same knitting episode, he said we should have titled the episode Masculinity and Knitting. I think he's referring to you, Pastor Wilkin.
Well,
knitter. Can I say former?
Or, yeah.
When was the last time you picked up the needles and yarn? Honestly.
probably 40 years.
Oh, okay. All right.
Not
there's anything wrong with that.
I might have been a teenager when I was dutifully obeying my mother, the fourth commandment, and learning how to knit. She wanted me to learn how to knit, so I, being a good, obedient son, said yes.
Does a part of you wish you continued that?
Yeah, because I've completely forgotten how to knit. I got email from people saying, oh, I hear that you knit. I don't currently knit. I did it one time in my young teenage years, attempt to learn. I attempted to learn a lot of things that I don't currently do.
Do you have anything that you made around the house? Gloves, you got a scarf, you got a hat. I'd love to see something that Todd Wilkin knitted.
We should auction it. Year-end tax-deductible gift.
Might have gotten, I don't even know what it's called anymore. Might have gotten around a couple rows and then promptly forgot how to do it.
Well, quickly.
But my mom wanted to make sure that if stranded on a desert island, which was, you know, that's
which,
always
which
a 50,
she really contemplated many times to do for you and
yes,
your brothers.
Yes, there's always a 50-50% chance that you could end up on a desert island at some point in your future, stranded for some time. You need to have a few skills.
So
and you can't be like Jeff, where you know how to do like one thing in life. You do it really, really well, but. You know,
if I'm on that stranded island, I'm just gonna sit there by myself in a fetal position, like Beth, Beth, Beth.
So, I could actually see that.
So you're saying that you never completed one item knitting? You never made a
sewing.
Sewing,
I completed a lot of items.
But now we're into sewing. Yeah. Did you mention this last time? You also did sewing.
But she required her son's.
I'm just saying. Did you disclose this? Was there full disclosure?
I said sewing and knitting.
Oh,
yes.
You did. Okay.
Yeah.
I just wasn't listening.
So I sewed. I at one point I was. I was the talk of the schoolroom for my homemade clothes.
Did you win any like 4-H ribbons for sewing and knitting?
We didn't have that in the suburbs. You know, maybe we did. I don't know. But no, I made shirts. I made a couple shirts for a couple other people who like my shirts.
One
hey,
arm,
I like that shirt. That's cool.
And I one said, arm longer than
I'll
the
make
other
you one.
One. One arm longer than the other one? Yeah.
So in some cases.
Buttons don't line up right. Yeah.
But before we go to break here, what's the difference between knitting and crocheting?
Crocheting, you're tying knots, and knitting, it's one continuous knot. It's one, a sweater is just one knot. One knot from beginning to end. It's not a bunch of knots, it's one very complicated knot. And crocheting is a bunch of knots. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure a sweater is just one knot. One giant complicated knot, kind of like this whole conundrum presented to us by the vaccines.
See if I can.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by becoming a congregational sponsor. When your church pledges $1,000, we'll publicize your congregation on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Learn more on the support donate page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Become an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor.
Usually in the Lutheran Witness, we have a theme for the issue. Well, the November issue of the Lutheran Witness brings you something unique. We have broken the mold, done something new. Well, not all that new in the world of magazines. We have brought you a magazine that does not have a theme. We asked our readers to submit articles, and from the 72 articles that were submitted, we culled it down to the 7 best articles that help you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective. So to get your copy, visit cph.org/witness or our website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
The pursuit of truth is the best way to prepare students for lives of responsible freedom and vocational service in family, church, and career. At Concordia University Chicago, truth is one of the pillars of our education, and that makes all the difference for our students. I'm Dr. Eli Hesterman, Dean of the College of Health, Science, and Technology at Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for truth to become a pillar of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
You may be one of those pastors who need to be refreshed and refueled because of your parish ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Charles Geeshan.
Concordia Theological Seminary has a wonderful program, not only in continuing education during the summer, but in an advanced study program called the Doctor of Ministry. And it's a very practical program because it focuses on congregational ministry. It incorporates biblical theology with the ministry of the congregation. It's also very accessible for pastors, and it's also affordable. You can major in pastoral care and leadership, teaching and preaching, or mission and culture. And we pray that pastors will take advantage of this program.
Learn more about the Doctorate of Ministry program at ctsfw.edu or by calling 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
It's a leech. It's a parasite. It cannot stand on its own. It doesn't build anything on its own. It latches onto existing institutions and ruins them.
All the work would amount to nothing. You know, there was nothing more that I could do because, again, I'm a poor, miserable sinner, and everything had already been done for me.
I understand being skeptical of these institutions, but being skeptical of institutions shouldn't mean being skeptical of truth claims.
The knowledge, right, that Christ himself willingly comes into and takes on the sins of the world. I just remember how striking that was, getting on the plane and returning, just kind of with that knowledge. It just never had felt so real before. I don't think it ever has, just because I don't think you have many of those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities to kind of experience something like that.
Tomorrow at this time, on Friday, November the 12th, we will play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or send us a tweet at issuesetc, or an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or wait until tomorrow at 4:30 Central and give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. Let's go to Cheryl, who listens in Indianapolis. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I heard you talking about trying to find a doctor you can trust, and I'm 72 years old, so I've had trouble finding a doctor I can trust. But I have a suggestion. You can ask the doctor that you interview, do you believe that abortion is safe and effective reproductive health care? I think you'll get some interesting answers to that, depending on what doctor's group you go to? And also the other question I've had that I've been asking myself is, what is the spike protein? That's what the vaccines are supposed to be producing in your body. And I found at least two doctors that I can go to online to give me some good information on that. And the one is Dr. Richard Fleming. He's a nuclear cardiologist. He invented the Fleming method. And the other is a neurologist named Dr. Kevin McCarron. And I've listened to 2.5 hours lectures on what the spike protein is and what it does to your body and how it's a bioweapon. So if anybody wants to find out about what the spike protein is, those are a couple of doctors that you can trust.
All right. Thank you very much. Well, I think we've heard from the other side. So,
not exactly equal airtime, but
I think bioweapon is a pretty strong term. Well, any virus can be a bioweapon, right? I mean, that's the concern about the origin of this particular virus, that it was being produced in labs where, why are you trying to make these vaccines stronger than they already are, more transmissible than they already are, if you're not just out to kill people? So I know they say it helps in the study of it, speeds up the research. Slow down your research, okay? And try and make vaccines less deadly. That's a good idea.
She had a great point about where they say on abortion.
Absolutely. Not only your OBGYN, you should be asking your pediatrician, where do you stand on abortion? And if they hem and haw, say, you know, come on, give it to me straight. Because a doctor who considers that medicine or healthcare probably does not, if he doesn't have that child's best interest in mind, he probably doesn't have yours either.
Michelle has a great question. She says, greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I thoroughly enjoy listening to issues, etc. A very close friend of mine is struggling in their marriage. I understand I will not know the strength of their faith, but I do know they are struggling, especially due to their failing marriage. My friend questions why God is allowing this to happen. Unhappy/resentful spouse, failing marriage. My heart hurts for both of them and their three children. How can I help my friend not give up on their marriage, and how can I help them in their faith? Thank you for any suggestions, recommendations, Bible passages, books, podcasts. I would love to help them in any way I can. Thank you, and may God bless you all, your sister in Christ, Michelle.
Introduce them to your pastor and make it his problem. I don't want to sound flippant that way, but you need to put this into the hands of a pastor who can, through the word of God and prayer, guide them to reconciliation. And you're right to mention the children. I think the children get left out of this because the ones who pay the most when a marriage dissolves are the children. And I've said it before. I say it in almost every single wedding sermon that I preach, and that I say, don't get divorced. And I steal directly from Pastor David Peterson when I say, don't conspire with a lawyer to destroy your marriage, because he's happy to be paid to destroy your marriage to help you do it. That's how he makes his money. And stay together for the kids your entire life. Even if you outlive your kids, stay together for the kids, because no matter when you decide to divorce, it's always going to hurt your children most. So the question is, do you love your kids? Do you love your kids enough to stay together and to do extremely hard work to remain as husband and wife for the sake of your children? The best reason to stay together is your kids. Love comes and goes. Commitment comes and goes. Your kids ought to be the reason why you stay together.
And if you're looking for issues, et cetera, resources, we did a multi-part series with Pastor David Peterson on marriage and divorce. Just enter marriage, David Peterson, P-E-T-R-S-E-N, in the search engine in the upper right-hand column, and you'll find that series with Pastor Peterson.
You know, David has a fantastic, I think it was in that very series where he had a fantastic insight where he says, as a pastor, part of his job is to keep people from getting married. When they come and say, we really want to get married, say, do you really? Now, he doesn't want to discourage marriage in general, but he wants to make sure that people don't walk into it with expectations that are seeding the ground of its own destruction. So really think about, what do you really want to be married, especially to the brides? Do you want to really want to be married? You just want to wear a dress and have a honeymoon.
And be Cinderella for a
day. Yeah. Do you really want to be married the rest of your life? Think about the rest of your life. And if you have, and he said it before, if you have a couple who said, wait a minute, where do you get this rest of your life stuff? I'm not the pastor to marry you if you're not in it for the rest of your life.
Ken writes, FYI, I was a college student in Clearwater, Florida in the early 80s, home of the original Hooters. It was basically a biker bar, became a chain. So that is the origin story of Hooters. Thanks for enlightening us, Ken.
That was in response to a listener who previously emailed us asking if a Christian can go to Hooters. Is that right? Yes. And some of the listeners were kind of shocked that Christians would consider going to Hooters.
That is also correct.
Greg, you haven't been to Hooters since we last talked, have you? No, I didn't think you had.
It's been years and years.
But he remembers the wings, so.
It's all about the wings. Hey, looky what we just got. When's the last time I've ever used that term, looky? Probably about the same time you last picked up some needles and yarn. Tom writes, brothers, I don't know how many positive responses you get about the recent shows about the pandemic and vaccines, but I wanted you to know I greatly appreciated them. The guests were informative without being pushy. I learned a lot from these segments. I'm certain that you knew in advance there would be a lot of backlash, no matter who you invited to speak on this issue. Thank you for your courage, concludes Tom. Thanks for the feedback,
Tom. And I do want to say something else about Lyman Stone. We interviewed Lyman Stone several times at the very beginning of the pandemic. I remember interviewing him from my closet when we were doing all this stuff remotely.
And got a lot of heat back then.
He was right on every single point. He was the guy, listeners didn't want to hear it. He was the guy that said, this is going to last years. He was the guy who said, he had some really unpopular ideas about how you deal with it. And he turned out to be right on every single point. And there's a reason for that. It's not because he's a prophet. It's not because he's smarter than everybody else, although he's a very smart guy. He turned out to be right because he was looking dispassionately at the data and the history of these things. And I love the fact that a demographer who is worth his salt like this doesn't engage in his own personal wishful thinking. I don't want COVID to last for 2 years. Therefore, I'm going to go and find the information that tells me it's not going to last for 2 years. Or I want the country to shut down and I want to stay home for the next 6 months. So I'm going to go look for data on the internet that supports my view of everyone staying home. If we did COVID without the internet, we'd be a lot better off than we are now.
I have to think about that. On the surface, I think you might be right. Brian, Sunnyvale, Texas, your November 4th podcast mentioned that Craig is an avid meat smoker. I pray he is not a pelletizer, one who uses a pellet smoker. Aside from the fact that pellets have been shown to be highly carcinogenic, Holy Scripture as well as our Lutheran confessions clearly teach stick burning. Those who succumb to the seductions of pellets do so, in my experience, out of a spirit of compromise with the liberal pellet wing of our meat-loving community. They most often seek to avoid the derision and snickers of the world and of Satan. Why would you waste all that time tending a fire when you can just fill the hopper, set the temp, and go play golf? Many have abandoned other core doctrines, such as diligence.
Can't stop laughing.
Many have abandoned other core doctrines, such as diligent observance of the sacrament of spritzing, sometimes abandoning it altogether, cooking above 275 degrees Fahrenheit, and boiling ribs before cooking. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod stands steadfast against the onslaught of Traeger, Rectech, and other purveyors of heresy. And I applaud President Matt Harrison for his refusal to bow down to the spirit of the age. Concludes Brian in Sunnyvale, Texas. That's going to be it for email of the year.
Yeah.
Craig, any
very creative
response?
Well, I'm with you, brother. I am right there with you. If it weren't for...
Here's the butt. With Craig, there's usually a butt. Here it is.
My smoker's electric, and it just has to be that way. So my smoker's electric. It was a gift, first of all. So let me just add that to the mix. But my smoker was a gift. It's electric, and I use wood chips. I don't use wood pellets.
My objection is environmental. His carbon footprint over there at the Feidinger house has to be enormous, because it's not smoking meat like once every couple months. He's smoking meat several times a week.
This past weekend we smoked a couple of days. We smoked 6 pork butts. Yes.
Okay, so you're burning coal to produce electricity to power your smoker, and the purpose of the smoker is to burn more stuff. You're literally burning coal to burn more stuff. Good for you.
I tell you what I'm going to do. Here's what we're going to do. We can't do it next week because Jeff is gone. But maybe we'll do it in the next couple of weeks, probably before the end of the year. I'm going to bring in some of the pulled pork. I'll talk to Tori. Tori will make us a couple of sides.
Will this be authentic? Is it going to be authentic?
Are we going to get the listener half calf?
Yeah, are we getting the half calf, Craig?
Are we going
to
find out?
When it comes to smoked meat, great point, Wilkin.
We're going to find out that he went to Beast Barbecue or something bought a bunch of brisket and then put it in his own pan and brought it here and... Artificial, maybe it won't even be meat.
So you don't use real fire, right? Hey, I've got to suggest, what we need to do is have a cook-off. Brian in Sunnyvale, Texas, send us his non-heretical smoked meat, and Craig send us his heterodox, make his heterodox smoked meat, and we try them both and see which ones we like.
All right. That's a good idea. Let's take a break. When we come back, more listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line on this Thursday, November the 11th. Our email address is talkback@issuesetc.org and the comment line 618-223-8382. I wish my words could just convince myself that it just wasn't real. But that's not the way it feels. If you plan to do some online Christmas shopping on Amazon, you can help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Just go to smile.amazon.com, sign into your Amazon account, enter Lutheran Public Radio into the charitable organization search field, and click Select. A percentage of your purchase will be donated to Issues Etc. Smile.amazon.com and choose Lutheran Public Radio. Thanks for your support.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Memoria Press's award-winning Latin programs are designed to teach your student to master Latin grammar through an easy-to-use step-by-step process. By studying Latin, your student will gain an academic vocabulary, a mastery of English grammar, and develop sound critical thinking skills. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next purchase by using the coupon code LPR22. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. memoriapress.com. Thanks to Pastor Andrew Sorensen and Faith Lutheran Church in Dunedin, Florida, for recently renewing their membership in our congregational sponsorship program. Faith Lutheran has pledged to contribute $1,000 to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. In return, We will promote Faith Lutheran Church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can become an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor on the support donate page at issuesetc.org, or just give us a call, 618-223-8385. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
Sticking with the subject of food, my home congregation, St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, will be hosting a come and get your carry out sausage supper this Sunday. That would be November, what, the 14th? Is that right? Yes, the 14th.
Minus church fire, right?
Minus, yeah, that was a couple of years ago.
Minus good the point. Church fire.
I had forgotten all about that. Thanks for bringing that to my attention. I always say, you're the most cynical person I've ever met. Got to bring up our church fire. Anyway,
well, look, as a result, one of the most beautiful naves and sanctuaries in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in a congregation that size. Absolutely stunning. After the church fire made the renovations necessary.
Death and resurrection. Anyway, that's this Sunday, November the 14th, from 11:30 in the morning to 5:30 in the evening. St. Paul Lutheran Church and School, Hamel, Illinois, right off of Interstate 55. I know for sure because right after this broadcast at 6 o'clock tonight, I'm on the setup shift.
It's worth the trip out to St. Paul, Hamel, Illinois, just to see that sanctuary, just to walk in there and see what a good Lutheran sanctuary can look like.
I thought you'd say just to see Deaconess Lynn Fredrickson or Pastor Ben Ball or Pastor Will Whedon, host of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, or Pastor Roy Askins, the editor of the Lutheran Witness magazine, or Pastor Sean Denzer, who's director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. But no, not people.
No.
And built on the rock, the church shall stand, and when steeples are falling, Pastor Wilkin.
I will suggest that you probably avoid Pastor Whedon, even though he's a delightful person, at a sausage supper, because he goes around slapping the sides off of people's trays. Yeah. The mashed potatoes. What do you have as sides? You should know this by now, don't you?
Mashed potatoes.
Nope.
Yeah, it's not meat. There are too many non-meat related.
Are they going to have any smoked meat at the Verst Market there?
I doubt it.
It's smoked. I mean, it's smoked for as long as it's cooking, and then there's smoke.
Hey,
not thoroughly smoked.
A couple quick questions. Barbara asked a great one. She said, today I heard that one should include Issues Etc. in buying from Amazon. Please explain how to do that.
Well, it's the Amazon Smile program. Is that correct?
Right. Just go to smile.amazon.com. Now, you have to have an account, an Amazon Smile account. But people always say, I type in Issues Etc. It's not there. You type in Lutheran Public Radio.
Mm-hmm. And it's one of the organizations that you can give to through Amazon Smile for the time being.
Here's an email. Another good question. Robert says, the question I have is the details of the resort at Table Rock Lake that you advertise between breaks and topic discussions in the on-demand segments. I can't find it. It's been a couple discussion topics, but I can't find it, and our family would like to research it.
If you go to our sponsors page, issuesetc.org/sponsors, is that correct, Jeff?
I think you had to go to, hold on a second. I don't know. It's under a tab somewhere. Issues, go to support. Yeah, support advertisers.
Advertisers.
Anybody that's ever advertised in the history of Issues, et cetera. Well, I should say the reincarnation. Can I say reincarnation? Then. Can I say resurrection?
Resurrection.
Resurrection of Issues, et cetera.
We're not Buddhists.
Even people that haven't advertised with us in years, you'll find information. Support, then click advertisers. How about one more email?
One more.
Jody in Belize. Do you know where Belize is?
I did it one time. I don't anymore.
I think it's in the Caribbean, isn't it?
Every time I guess on geography, I hear it from Lynn, and then I hear it from listeners. So I'm not going to guess.
Jody writes, we are enjoying your special programming during Reformation Week. Know that each day we listen to all of your interviews that you post through Apple Podcasts. Out here in the jungle of Belize, where we get good LCMS in-person church once per month, it is uplifting to fill our minds with interviews that educate, challenge our thinking, and help us understand events and philosophies that are happening today. Thanks for listening in Belize, Jody.
Jody, thank you very much. I would. The obvious exception is this segment, which does none of the things that she suggests. Did she say entertain?
Au contraire. Where is this email? Dave, Columbia, Missouri. For what it's worth, I like the listener comment line segments. Once in a while, you do some good classic radio work in them. If only they were known and scheduled in advance and you could get live callers. So there you go.
Well,
there's something for everybody. That's why, thus the name Issues Etc.
I'm a little discouraged that he doesn't think we're doing good solid radio work the rest of the time. We're working pretty hard.
See, that's the cynical Wilkin. He didn't necessarily say that. You kind of implied that.
Hey, I inferred that.
The close theme's starting here in like 5 seconds.
Yes.
So we got Roseboro on This Week in Pop Christianity. We'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. And Pastor Ted Geese is going to give us a review of the movie The French Dispatch.
Okay. That sounds great. That's all tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is. 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His name.